Hello, it is October 5th, 2015. You are looking live at Athens, Georgia. This is episode 531 of the Will Leach Experience Podcast on Sports on Earth. I am the aforementioned Will Leach, and I thank you for spending part of your day with me. The baseball season is over. It is done. The regular season, anyway. And we now know who's playing and who's playing when. We don't know the times yet. I'm very antsy. I get antsy when I don't know the times for things. So I will be up very late on Sunday night, recording this on Sunday night, very late trying to find out when everyone plays. I actually have a 40th birthday party on Saturday night that friends of mine are coming into Athens for. So I am eager to find out when the Cardinals play that night. So if someone's listening and they haven't come out yet, someone in the MLB scheduling office, please let me know when the Cardinals play Saturday night so I can ignore all of these people that have flown across the country to come see me and celebrate the end of my youth, though I think it was probably 10 years ago, and so I can watch Cardinals game. But we have a lot to get to with this Footer and Leach edition. In addition to this podcast, this is going to be our little 20-25 minute wrap up of the season, talk about everything that's gone on, maybe make some MVP picks. And then we are going to do short little 5-minute podcast previews of the two wildcard games. And then throughout the next week, we will be doing little short little 10-minute podcast preview of each of the NLDS matchups, because it's the time of year where we can start doing that. So I bring you right in. Ordinarily, I cut these things beforehand, but unfortunately, Ms. Allison has had to sit there silently and politely as I prattle on in this intro. Ordinarily, she doesn't have to hear it. She can go 15 seconds faster each time. Unfortunately, she had to listen to it this time. So thank you for sitting through this, Allison. I apologize.
That was actually very interesting. Well, I'm glad I was here to share it with you.
Oh boy, that was totally convincing. So first off, I don't care whether I'm talking to Allison or whether I'm talking to Nizola. Congratulations to the Houston Astros breaking that 10-year postseason drought. They might not be playing an in-run yet. We don't know. They'll have to beat the Yankees, but they have made the postseason. How do Astros feel? How is everything moving in that direction?
I think it's really funny that you still call it Enron. yeah, you know, I was really happy for AJ Hinch. I mean, I'm happy for the whole team and the organization, but I loved that they did this in Arizona. I know it was like a totally like non-story, side story, whatever story that nobody cares about, but maybe me. But it is significant that AJ was just kind of laughed out of Arizona in his first managerial stint 5 years ago as Diamondbacks manager. And he got to, you know, ruin the visiting clubhouse at Chase Field. And, you know, he's come a long way and he really kept this team together. I mean, it's a very good team. It's not a great team. And it's got a lot of youth on it. And even in the worst of times, I mean, when the team was in Arlington a couple of weeks ago and they got swept in 4 games, it was kind of over for all intents and purposes. And then here we were like on the last day of the season and the Astros actually had a chance to maybe even win the division if it had gotten to that. So my goodness, you know, you just can't say enough. I mean, AJ just stayed even keeled the entire time when even in the worst of times, he's like, nope, you know, that game's over. We're just going to look ahead and we have to play all 162. And he was right. And it ended up good for them. So I was happy to see it happen.
Do you feel that among the fan base that there would have been active frustration if people have just been like, yeah, it was a good year. We came close. We probably should have made it as far as we did. And they're building something for the future if they hadn't made it. Or do you think that this was kind of needed as maybe the next step in kind of what they're trying to build?
Yeah, I mean, I think I look at it differently than the fans. I mean, I absolutely looked at it like you just said the whole time. So I didn't get that caught up in anything as much as I might have in the past, because I see this as the beginning. I mean, if this had been the end of the road, if this had been 10 years ago when they were like, okay, we have all these veteran players and we have to win now because we're starting the decline in our farm system and we got to get this done before we have to start breaking it down and start over again, then there'd be more of a sense of urgency. But I just look at this as like they played a little bit over their heads. They took full advantage of the fact that the division wasn't very good. I mean, we've talked about this, but and so they managed to squeeze out like 6 or 7 more wins than they probably would have had, like if it had been a more even match among, you know, throughout the division. So while fans were kind of freaking out in September and they were losing all those games, were well under 500 in September, the bullpen was getting very tired. And so, yeah, it's just like, you know, when you're hanging in there for 5 months and it's so exciting and there's so many, you know, you really start to buy into it. You start believing, then, yeah, I mean, if they hadn't made it, it would have been like this dud. But I looked at it like, you know, I mean, this is kind of like a wash. And then next year, you know, it kind of gets serious as far as like you need to get to the postseason and you need to still be playing third week in October.
And of course, the only other real game that really mattered on Sunday, you know, I like the idea of all the games starting at 3, except for that miserable Cardinals doubleheader that I was going. I'm really glad I did not end up going to on Sunday, because the Cardinals went a hold the last week of the season of this first 100 win team since 2011 got shut out 3 games against the Braves. So I'm okay that I didn't actually watch any of those games. But the only other game that didn't matter on Sunday, that really ended up mattering on Sunday, was the Rangers. The Rangers beat the Angels. The Angels have a long winter ahead of them and a lot of questions to be answered, and I think may have some trouble looking forward. But to me, the Texas Rangers winning that game behind Cole Hamels, who now looks like maybe one of the best, other him and Tula, we'll see them in the next series, as like the most important trade deadline acquisitions. The Rangers won the NL West, a team that even at the trade deadline, there was this general assumption that the Rangers were only making that trade for next year and that their season was over. And here they are, winning the AL West, even with injuries to Darvish and all the troubles they've had this year. You know, you pay close attention to that division. You know, you know the state well. Certainly Texas, what a kind of amazing thing for them to pull off.
Well, yeah, and even not even looking at it from like going over the whole season, I mean, just the last 2 days. I mean, when you talk about one of the most gut-punching, awful losses that they could have ever endured, that was on Saturday, the second to the last game of the season, when they had that thing wrapped up. And, you know, their bullpen is completely cooked. So it's not like they're chokers and it's not like they can't handle the pressure. It was like they have no bullpen. So for not only for them to come back and be able to score all those runs, but for Cole Hamels to come in, and he kind of needed to go 9. You know, 7 at the very minimum, 8 would be ideal, and then 9, or, you know, semi-ideal, and then 9 preferably. I mean, and that's why that was such a huge clutch start. Because you had to think that you know, I don't believe in momentum at all, like at all. But you had to feel like the Angels felt pretty good coming into things, even though, you know, they're kind of running out of gas too. But just with Cole Hamels, yes, they got him for next year and beyond. But that is exactly why you get these guys. That's their job. That is their responsibility. That's their title. It's those kinds of pitchers that can pitch in those kinds of games. And I, you know, you just have to give them a lot of credit. And I'm happy for the Rangers. Jeff Banister, I mean, my God, if you don't like Jeff Banister, you don't like peanut butter and jelly. So good for the Rangers.
Yeah, I always want to put an extra in his last name. It bothers me a little, but other than that, I'm cool with the guy. So the only thing that mattered was Kansas City winning, which to me seems actually kind of key to not only have home field advantage in a potential ALCS, but all told, I think if I'm the Royals and the Blue Jays, I'd much rather play whoever wins that wild card game between the Astros and Yankees, then play the Rangers. To me, the Rangers, they're probably not going to start Hamels in game 1 because that's Thursday. I don't know if he'll have enough rest. That'd be only 3 days rest. So I'm assuming they'll get him in game 2 and maybe in game 5. Well, I'll have to do the math on that. But certainly the Rangers look to me more potentially imposing, with the caveat that all postseason series are short and everything weird can happen all the time. They look to me more imposing than whoever wins that wild card. To me, that's a big advantage the Royals have now.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that you have to give the Royals, you have to really put them at the top when you're trying to rank just the postseason teams, because the Rangers just have such a potent lineup. And anything can happen, but I've not been impressed with the Yankees all season. And the Astros, you know, I'm kind of lukewarm on them. You know, I kind of go back and forth. But I think the Rangers have the most complete team, and you give them, I mean, they're going to benefit more than anything from winning the division and having this layoff. I mean, sometimes, like when you look at the fact that the two second wild card teams last year actually ended up in the World Series, and a lot of those division winners were swept out of the division series having time off in between the regular season ending and the playoffs starting, which can work against you. But I think in the Rangers situation, I think they're going to benefit from every last hour of this break before they start up again, and I think they're going to be a very scary team when those playoffs start.
Yeah, and we'll preview each of the matchups as we in this shorter podcast, so we don't have to get into too much details on those there. So to maybe go through the way the schedule works, everyone, you know, it is funny. I don't know about you, Allison, but on Monday night, I am going to try to go to bed at like 9:30 because I'm going to be up past midnight every day for the next month. And some of those nights, particularly ones that involve Cardinal games, will involve drinking and stress and pacing around. And those the type of drinks that happen during the postseason, which are, wow, I just like I can't, I just accidentally drank five beers because I'm so nervous and that happens occasionally during postseason games. So it's going to be a long, this is always the most exhausting month of the year, a very exciting month of the year, but a very exhausting one. So, but look through the schedule. Tuesday night is the AL wildcard game. There's the Astros at the Yankees. That's on ESPN. Wednesday night, and boy, we're going to have fun previewing this later, the Cubs at Pirates on TBS. Just going to be an absolutely wild game. There are no start times for any games yet outside of the wildcard games. Both those are at 8 o'clock Eastern. Thursday are the first two games of the ALDS, and then Friday there are games two of the two ALDS series and the National League series will kick off. And then they just keep coming pretty much nonstop the rest of the month. So look, we kind of knew already what was going on in the National League. There was some discussion, I think, on Saturday. The Dodgers secured home field in that. Of course, we'll preview that series a little later on as well. But to me, you know, I liked that last day of the season. I think it'll work out better when there's some tighter races. The kind of the AL West was the only thing where there was really much going on. But I think that'll be really fun when things get closer. But to me, taking a step back, you know, one of the nice things about baseball is you can wrap up the whole postseason. Like, now the regular season is over, and I've already forgotten it happened. like we were in the postseason. You just kind of floor it right now. Was there anything about this season that struck you as particularly interesting, something that was a little different? You've been covering, you know, baseball for a long time. When you think back on the 2015 regular season, before we get distracted by kind of the random madness of the postseason, is there anything that makes you be like, okay, that was one of the big stories this year, or that's the memory I'll hang on to for a long time?
Well, you know, I mean, there were all kinds of sort of little things that I think happened throughout the season. I think this has just been one of the most incredible seasons that we've had. But I mean, you have to start that conversation with the Mets.
Yeah,
and the Nationals. I mean, with the Mets just being kind of a laughingstock. I mean, I still remember as late as June or July saying, oh, the Mets are Metsing again, which is my way of saying that they're, you know, stepping on their own feet. And it just, you know, with all the stuff with Wilmer Flores and he's getting traded and then he's not and he's crying and then, you know, and then they're all, and then they get Cespedes and they're off and running. Terry Collins being this guy that was like almost, you know, everyone thinking that he might get fired like midseason and now he's probably going to be manager of the year and just everything that they have had to overcome and being in the spotlight of being the Mets. And I think, but you know, what goes along with that is what happened with the Nationals. And so I think that's like the most kind of shocking. I mean, I'm just like going through like all the teams right now. And I mean, the Giants not getting to the postseason is not that big of a deal. Little things happen here and there. But I think with the Nationals just being like not only a disaster, but a dysfunctional disaster, they're probably going to lose their manager because he just, you know, a year after being manager of the year, he's just like showing that he's really kind of incompetent. And just everything that happened with them. So I think that you just have to focus on, you know, what happened in the NL East, the fact that the world picked the Nationals to for sure win their division. But most of us picked them to be there in the World Series, and I just find that just stunning, everything that happened.
Yeah, I like that. I love the Mets story, too. And, you know, one of the – and particularly the Nationals part of it. You know, it is as if the Mets not only, you know, defeated the Nationals – but made the Nationals consume the Mets' essence in a lot of ways. The kind of like the way the complete implosion that the Nationals have is frankly something we typically associate with the Mets. That's usually what happens to the Mets. And the Nationals really, like, they blew up in a way that I haven't actually even seen the Mets blow up in a long time. And to me, you know, we all have our viewpoints on that thing. Certainly, I think it is a shame that Harper still gets kind of tied in to as part of that mess rather than the only good thing that came out of that mess. But
yeah, I mean, you know, I read every single thing that was written about the whole Papelbon Harper thing. We're not going to rehash that. But, you know, the one that I really thought a lot of, because I felt this way kind of about the organization, is just the arrogance that they have of having not really done much. And they you know, they kind of pat themselves on the back, but they sort of see this whole baseball thing in a way of importance that needs to come down a couple notches. They take things like way too seriously. Everything seems to be like a way bigger deal than maybe it needs to be. And maybe everyone needs to just kind of check themselves and, you know, say, okay, this is what happened. Sometimes things happen. The sun comes up in the morning. We're all going to be here together again. Writers are going to write about us. Sometimes they're going to like us. Sometimes they're going to hate us. And let's just keep things in perspective. And I don't think that they have that perspective. And I think when you're the Mets and you're just in the spotlight and in this media market and in the city where you just have things coming at you all the time, they just deflect every which way you go. And at the end of the day, there's still a lot of people within that organization that have to be on the public front that still are able to handle this. And I don't think the Nationals are anywhere near that. And I think they need to, you know, I don't know if you can, because ownership, of course, are the ones that has to start with them. And nobody wants to look at themselves in the mirror and say, I think that I might be able to improve in some areas, but they need to.
Yeah, the Nationals is that you're. I don't know if the Nationals will be the main. I think, you know, we end up just often just remembering what happened in the postseason when we look back at seasons. But yeah, the Nationals would like us not to think about them as the kind of the. It's hard to think of a time where, again, you're right. Not only did people just assume the Nationals were going to win the division, the idea was, well, how many games over 100 are they going to win?
And, you're right.
It turns out it was about next.
Yeah. What's the record for wins? I mean, we were talking about all this stuff. And I mean, really, I think they're going to be fine next year, by the way, because number one, Matt Williams will not be there. It's going to be a totally different feel. They'll make some personnel changes. I mean, they'll change the team look a little bit, but they'll have a new manager in there, probably new coaches. You know, if Mike Rizzo stays or goes, I mean, it sounds like he's going to stay. That's fine. But there will be a different feeling when they come back, and they will have learned from all this. They definitely, you know, having had experienced this, I don't think that it's going to have a carryover effect. This is a very talented team with great players. But they showed that they're not as deep as maybe we thought they were. I mean, they had a lot of injuries, yes, but there's a lot of teams that had a lot of injuries that are going to the postseason. So I think that they're going to be okay. And I just feel like a Buddy Black type of manager is going to be perfect for that team. And then they'll be off and running and it'll be okay.
Well, that'll be a shame. I like to see them. I like them too, but it's always nice to have a team that almost feels permanently broken. Now, I'm going to do one more thing before. I'm curious. We'll do a little production meeting on the air here. On the air, like we're in like rooms with like a little on the air sign up there. But I think that we're gonna do little predictions. You know what? We won't do it, actually, because we'll do it in the last podcast, because I thought we might make our postseason predictions, but we're going to be doing these short podcasts on each one. So we'll go ahead and just do those, make our predictions, all predictions on those. So now I think we should wrap up this regular season. Let's look at our awards, the baseball awards. You know, it's funny. Baseball awards are, I still think, with the possible exception of the NBA MVP, which is a huge, huge deal, if just for like a bragging rights type of thing among players, I still feel like baseball awards are the ones that matter the most, the ones we think about the most. Maybe that and the Heisman Trophy. Those are like the things that Heisman Trophy, NBA Finals, and then really almost all the baseball awards, the NBA MVP, excuse me, are the things that we think about. So let's go over the awards. Let's start in the National League. Let's start in the National League. Let's go with the National League Manager of the Year. Who do you have?
Okay. I have, my pick is Joe Maddon. But I also want to make a case for Mike Matheny. My pick is Joe Maddon because not only, I mean, look, nobody really knew what the Cubs were going to be. They had all this young talent. They had this like cool new manager with the cool guy glasses, and everyone was really excited with all these, using these big words that you have to look up in the dictionary. But we didn't know it was all going to come together. We figured they were going to be good in a couple of years. But I mean, not only the Cubs have 97 wins. This is insane. In the toughest division in baseball. So what would they have in another division? So you have to give it to Joe Maddon. I mean, there's really no question, because they overachieved in every category, and they were still enjoying themselves down the stretch. I just want to say about Mike Matheny, and I don't know if this is more like I should be giving credit to John Mozeliak or whatever, but the fact that they won 100 games with the injuries that they had, I mean, they were sapped of like at every position at some point. And to have never really even blinked an eye is pretty amazing. So I don't like always take stock and like, oh, it has to go to the guy who took, you know, made his team do things that nobody thought he was going to be able to, which would be like Joe Maddon. But Mike Matheny, you know, being able to manage through just about everything and having a loaded team with all this depth, yes. But I don't know. That was pretty amazing what the Cardinals did this year. So that he's like my 1A. Like Madden's my 1, Matheny's my 1A.
Yeah, they're both good picks. You can make a case for Terry Collins. You can make a case,
sure,
a case for Clint Hurdle. But to me, I think Matheny and Maddon are definitely those two. I went back and forth a lot on this. In fact, I was actually asked to make a pick a week ago, and I picked Matheny. I'm actually going to go with Maddon as well, if just because – I mean, first off, I think – I mean, if I were to pick Matheny, it would be the opposite of a homer pick, man. Like, I've been railing on Matheny for years now. And frankly, to me, Matheny is a terrific regular season manager and a shaky tactician postseason manager. So all I say is the last two Cardinals postseasons have ended in me doing a screaming to the heavens, what are you thinking, Mike Matheny column. So this is certainly not a guy that I am predisposed to defend. But yeah, man, what they did this year, what he was able to, like, it's funny because one of the things to me, the best case you can make for Matheny is how bad Matt Williams is. Like, when things go wrong, you know, it's hard. You know, managing a clubhouse is really hard, and managing a baseball team is really hard. And Matt Williams is what happens when you screw it up. And yep. Matheny, for now 3 consecutive years, has won the NL Central and never had a more difficult time and a difficult roster problems that he had this year, and he still pulled it off. But I'm still picking Maddon. If the thing that pushed me over was the fact that really the Cubs finished 3 games behind the Cardinals, like it's like if I think I not to say that Matheny should be punished for not winning games in Atlanta that nobody cared about at the end of the year. But to me, that's 3 games is enough that I also went with Ben. But it was close. All right, National League Rookie of the Year, I'll go first. There was a time this was a really exciting race. It was Jung Ho Kang and Jock Peterson and Randall Grichuk and Chris Bryant and Matt Duffy. To me, the way it kind of shook out at the end, I find it hard not to pick Chris Bryant.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Duffy would be the only one that I was like kind of bantering about, but it's, I mean, Chris Bryant, there's really no bigger, I mean, there's really no reason to, you know, analyze this left and right, up and down. He pretty much met all expectations, and those expectations were huge, and the pressure on him was huge, and everyone was watching him at spring training. I remember, it was just like some ridiculous, load that was put on him, and I mean, his numbers are great, and I mean, he contributed to a team that overachieved and won 97 games, so that's kind of the definition of what you're looking for, and so, yeah, Chris Bryant.
Yeah, and I it's a shame too, because Jock Peterson was so fun in the first half and
everything. Yeah,
and everything. And it was such a cool story at the All-Star game. But whatever, he'll be fine. He's young. All right, yeah. NL Cy Young, 3 clear people to choose from. I had Garrett Cole 4th, but to me, Clayton Kershaw, Jake Arrieta, and Zach Greinke. This is so tough too, because it really felt like it was going to be Greinke the entire year, and then Arrieta came on so crazy at the end. Again, this is another thing. When I made a pick a week ago, I went with Greinke. Arrieta is pitching at an inhuman fashion in the second half. So I ultimately, against what I would have picked a week ago, I went with Arrieta.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really – I'm not sure that I have a favorite in this, because I don't feel like you should punish Zach Greinke for doing it over a whole season instead of some frenetic pace, some historic pace. Like Arrieta is doing. But when you look at what Arrieta has done since the All-Star break, with like a 0.70 ERA or something like that, I'm not sure that you can really not give it to him. You know, it's interesting because we did a look back on the 1984 Cubs clincher, and when Rick Sutcliffe, you know, pitched in that game and they won, and he won the Cy Young that year, and he'd gotten traded to Cubs midseason from the Indians. So, I mean, he basically won the Cy Young with half of a season of work, but it was so dominant. And when you're talking about just Jake Arrieta is basically unhittable. I mean, it's like the other team doesn't even have a shot. And with Zach Greinke, they are going to have a lot of struggles, but they still have a chance. But at the same time, I just don't know that you can. I mean, I was looking at Zach Greinke's like game by game numbers and just his ERAs, you know, month to month. I'm like, oh my God. I mean, he's really not missed anything. But I don't know. Jake Arrieta is just I think I have to give it to him too.
Yeah, it's tough. You hate to punish Greinke, but man, Arrieta has just been, it's been unbelievable. It doesn't even seem real the second half. So yeah, I'm with him as well. All right, NL MVP. This is a tough one, particularly on where you are on how much do playoffs count? Should not making the playoffs not count? Do you want to pick an MVP from this historically disappointing team? Theoretically speaking, where did you land on the NL MVP?
Oh, I land on Bryce Harper.
Okay. There are some people that aren't. I am with you, but there are some people that, you know, I get it. You know, it's weird to pick an MVP from a team that is historically underachieving, but man, he just had this. This was the year everyone said he was going to have, and he had it, and it was amazing.
I mean, who else should be in the conversation if it's based on like playoff teams?
Yeah, that's the problem. Is, you know, I it's funny. My top three are actually all non-playoff teams.
I love Nolan Arenado.
Yeah, I liked Arenado too. I like Goldschmidt, obviously. Joey Votto had a second half that's almost the hitter equivalent of Arrieta's in a lot of ways. To me, the guy from a playoff team that I had the highest was Anthony Rizzo, but I don't think he's quite. If Rizzo maybe had Goldschmidt numbers, I think you could make an argument for Rizzo, but he's not quite there. I just don't. The arguments. There's no one. Even if you think that the MVP should have to come from a playoff team, there's no standout guy enough for me to take it away from Harper.
No, I mean, I'm looking here, and Paul Goldschmidt, he had a phenomenal season, but when you look at Harper, I mean, it was from pretty much the very start of the season. He's at 330 average, 1.109 OPS. I mean, there's really no competition there. Yes. It's Bryce Harper.
All right, AL manager. It's funny. Maybe this is talking to you, though. I don't know if you have this pick. To me, this was tight between a lot of people. There's no two clearly standing out like Matheny and Madden. But ultimately, I went with A.J. Hinch. I actually went with A.J. Hinch on this. Jeff Bannister, you can make a great case for Bannister as well. To me, A.J. Hinch is a guy that and often people say the managers, it comes down to best narrative award. But to me, you know, one of the things with Hinch is this is a guy that was basically tossed out of his last place and told he was a horrible manager. Yeah. And to come in and take this young team and kind of not only get them in first place most of the year, but keep them around and hanging in during a time when it looked like they may drop this thing and younger teams like them have folded in the past. That was enough for me to choose him.
Yeah, I'm being a total homer on this one, but I really don't care. Save your emails and save your calls. I am picking A.J. Hinch. He really came into a situation where everyone thought this team was going to win 79 games. But more than anything, what this team has been lacking during the Bo Porter era especially was just like somebody that you can really – that players can really buy into, that they can communicate with. And A.J. was going to be he was the perfect guy to represent every part of this team, not only to manage it, but to speak on behalf of it and to have this, you know, kind of cool hand. He's a very likable person and they liked playing for him. Very reasonable. You know, Brent Strom, who's going to get no attention at all, the pitching coach, you know, he's kind of working miracles too with that pitching staff. But I think that they, you know, Jeff Luhnow had the sense enough to bring in somebody who was going to be able to communicate in the proper way with these players. And I think that what he did, because he had less talent to work with. I mean, the Rangers were injured and they were underachieving, but they are more talented from, you know, player position by position. I believe that they're a more talented team. And when they got healthy, they were, you know, off and running. AJ worked with, in my opinion, a lot less, especially when it came to the pitching staff. And look where they are. They're headed to the postseason. So I'm picking AJ.
All right. How about AL Rookie of the Year? Who do you have in that one?
Well, I have Carlos Correa.
hey, listen, it's not a home remain. So do I. So I have Correa as well.
After I went through that whole thing, like, I don't care if you think I'm a homer. Well, I kind of care if you think I'm a homer on this one. But, yeah, that's a pretty impressive guy. I mean, I just loved watching him play defense. And I know that the defense is not why a guy would win Rookie of the Year. His numbers are clearly there, too, his offensive numbers. But, oh, my God. And maybe it's just because I cannot wait to see what this guy is going to do next year in a full season when he has this experience under his belt. But what a phenomenal talent Carlos Correa is. There were a lot of guys, though, that were pretty worthy of consideration on this, no doubt.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a theory about voting for Rookie of the Year as well that – some people say you should take the person that just had the best year, and no matter what, that's who you should pick. And then some say you should pick the one that doesn't make you look completely stupid with the Bob Hamlin pick in 20 years, and pick the guy that you know is the most talented, even if he didn't necessarily have the best year. The example of this people always use is in 2012 when Bryce Harper and Wade Miley were really, really close. But everybody even then knew, okay, come on. Like, Harper's going to be – like, we're all going to look like idiots if we don't pick Bryce Harper. And it was very close. Harper had 16 first-place picks, and Miley had 12. It was actually pretty close. They made the right call. To me, I think Correa actually had the best year in addition to that. But I don't want to be – I'm not going to be – either way, I'm not going to be on the wrong side of history. I am picking Carlos Correa as well. And so then I come to the AL Cy Young, and I don't care whether people call you a Houston Astros homer, but they're going to have to call me a Houston Astros homer because I have AL Manager, AL Rookie of the Year, and AL Cy Young, all Houston Astros, because I have Dallas Keuchel as my Cy Young, barely beating out David Price.
Yeah, I think I do too. And I really, you know, David Price, I think, I mean, their numbers were so similar, and really, I mean, their accomplishments, you really can't say that one, you know, just succeeded so much more than the other. David Price, man, though, he changed so much about that Blue Jays team when he got there, and that does count for something. That counts for a lot. But Dallas Keuchel, he had like one bad start all year. He was perfect at home. He won 20 games, even though the organization doesn't care about wins. I think you have to give it to Keuchel if you're talking about a team that would have had absolutely zero shot if he had even had 75% the success that he ended up having. Then they're not in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, I think he's the call. And so we wrap up with AL MVP. Probably, I think maybe NL Cy Young and NL Manager are close as well. But to me, this is the hotly debated one because it really comes down to two guys. I love the year that Manny Machado had. I love the year that Lorenzo Cain had. If I don't have a vote, I will never have a vote. I don't want to vote. Leave it away from me. I got enough problems in my life than people yelling at me all the time, even more than they already are. But I would be that jerk that put Alex Rodriguez my 10th place vote. I would totally be that guy, but I'm not that guy, so you don't have to worry about me ruining that. But for me, it's so hard to pick between Trout and Donaldson. I know that I think Donaldson's probably going to end up winning if just because the Blue Jays have had this incredible year. And he's been awesome. Him and Trout are neck and neck. They're really close. To me, I'm still picking Trout. This is still the best player in baseball. Donaldson's had an incredible year for a great team, and I do think he'll end up winning. But if I had a vote, I would probably just barely. This is not like Trout against Cabrera a few years ago, where I felt like it was very obvious that Trout should have got it, and I was angry that Cabrera won. Even though I understood why they went for him, it's a triple crown. But to me, Trout was a better player then, and clearly should have won it. This is a lot closer than that. I still ultimately went with Trout.
Yeah, I went with Trout too, but I'm not sure that I made the right call on that.
Yeah, it's tough. It's really tough. It's really
tough. Yeah, I think that he's the best player in the game. I really do. I think that when it's all said and done at the very end of their careers, he's going to be considered one of the best ever. Donaldson, he had a lot of very clutch moments, and he drove in a lot more runs, but I don't know. I do feel like I have to... I don't feel good about this, actually, because like tomorrow I might feel that Donaldson is deserving, but today I feel like it's Trout.
It's tough. It's a really tough call, and I you know I remember being very sort of quietly testy. I wasn't openly testy, but quietly testy with people for voting for Cabrera a couple years ago. I would certainly not blame anyone for voting for Donaldson this year. And I do. I think he's gonna win. I think just the fact that Trout's won a couple years in a row now, and Anaheim did not end up making the playoffs. I think it'll ultimately end up being Donaldson, but when St. Peter's looking at his scrolls, I want to be able to one that said I theoretically fake voted for Mike Trout 5 years in a row. So I don't want any trouble from St. Peter's when he's looking over my fake non-existent ballots from hopefully 6 years earlier in my life, as opposed to like you just voted that vote last week. Why'd you get hit by that truck?
Well, do we care about RBIs? I mean, does that matter?
I don't. Yeah. That's one of the main things.
Like on-base percentage and OPS, yeah. And I mean, Trout just kind of like blows everybody out of the water. And yeah, I also think defensively, my God, he's just amazing. He's amazing.
And put Trout in Donaldson's spot in the lineup with all those people on base in front of him, I bet he ends up with a lot of RBIs too. He did, after all, lead the American League in RBIs last year. So clearly he can do that if he needs to. So, okay, so those are our picks. I think we are in agreement on almost all of them because you and I are geniuses. So good job.
Thanks. I
Okay.
can't believe that I gave a shout out to Mike Matheny. How proud are you of me? I've come a long way.
Oh man, and meanwhile, which is funny because Mike Matheny is like my least favorite part of the Cardinals. So I
Yeah,
suppose
I
that
spent
makes
like
sense.
3 whole days there the other day, and I walked away from it feeling not quite as nauseated as I usually am.
Well, that is I think that is, well, you know, at the end of the year they always do those names for videos, you know, of the highlight videos. That will be the St. Louis Cardinals 2015. Not quite as nauseating as usual. Okay, so here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna wrap up this one because we've gone a little long already. Because coming up next is in your feeds, we're gonna do separate podcasts. I think that these wild card ones will go up either later on Monday or early on Tuesday morning. But we're gonna do previews of all of the series that will go up throughout the week on various days. So just the little bite size podcast previewing each wild card game in each series. So we're going to pretend that we're signing off, and we'll just call and do this call later, but we're just going to sign off now, and then we're just going to record this again. So Allison, I will pretend that I'm talking to you in podcast time a few days from now, but in actuality we'll be talking in 15 to 20 seconds.
Okay.
All right. So Allison, thank you. Everyone follow Allison Footer on Twitter, ALYSONFOOTER. She's of course the national correspondent for MLB.com and my co-host of this podcast. We're going to do a music about Sun Dogs. Please rate and review us on iTunes, and we'll be back pretty soon, very quickly, with all of our division playoff series. It is the postseason. It is here. Allison, how do you feel? Are you ready?
I am ready.
I am ready. I can't wait. Be safe out there. Enjoy the baseball week, and we'll be back with our preview podcast.